Well done to all involved in raising that money. Now, here are some of the letters received at the evening news during the past week. Michael Shaw, the CEO of Aegeus Energy, writes about decarbonising transport. We welcome the recent announcement of £2.6 billion to decarbonise the UK's transport system. The commitment to electric vehicles, particularly vans and HGVs, is a vital step towards a lower emission future. It's encouraging to see £400 million ring-fenced for the rollout of charging infrastructure. This investment must be focused on delivering a public charging network that is reliable, accessible, and fit for commercial vehicles. The commercial vehicle sector is responsible for 10% of UK emissions, but decarbonising it at scale means creating confidence in infrastructure. Infrastructure developers are already making progress, but a joined-up approach will be key to accelerating the transition.
William Buttinger from Norwich urges us to be prepared. "Who on earth would want to invade us?" writes Ian Weir on June the 12th. That indeed is the question that puzzles me as expenditure on defence increases. My answer to Ian is to see us not just as an island state, but as part of a common European heritage, which Europe should jointly defend, and something reflected in our liberal democracies. The NATO Secretary General Mark Rutter is reported as saying that Russia's new supersonic missiles bring the threat much closer. Let's not kid ourselves, we're all on the eastern flank now. Recent threats to our undersea cables and the lukewarm American support for NATO are just two issues to take into account. No one can be certain what the future holds. Perhaps one day Russia will become an ally. Yet, on the other hand, if we have civilizational collapse, as many predict, because of climate change and even AI, how scary would that world be? We had a war in 1914 to 1918 to end all wars, but had another 20 years later. So, be prepared, should be the motto.
John Fernihau from Shropham writes about the Environment Agency. I note that the Environment Agency are forecasting water shortages for 30 years. After the hot summers of 1974, 75 and 76, they forecast the same doom. Within 3 years, we were swimming in it. I believe nature has a way of evening up the rainfall, despite the doom forecasts.
Sarah Neville from Bacton is not happy with local bank closures. The short article about the closure of the NatWest branches in Cromer and Lowestoft states that more than 80% of our active account holders now use our digital services. That might well be true. But what about the other 20%? Do they not matter? What about the people who use the digital platform but need some help and reassurance from a real person at times? What about the people who, for various reasons, do not use any form of digital platform? How will NatWest stand out from the crowd of online banking services without a high street presence? Norwich is a long way from Cromer and Lowestoft. It used to be a bank that took real pride in service to individual customers. How will small businesses, churches, charities and small clubs and societies deal with cash? Where is the personal touch? Who will help if one makes a digital mistake? None of these things can be demonstrated with a graph or pie chart. It's no wonder that children are growing up unable to hold a conversation or debate anything, and the elderly and those who have difficulty travelling grow ever more lonely and isolated. Think again, NatWest.
Paul Milner of Sheringham laments the lack of common sense. Many are the comments and witticisms made by French philosopher and satirist Voltaire, but my favourite is "Common sense is not so common." I think because we see examples of this every day, often at the highest level of our government. Today, the EDP reports British father David Todd hoped to return to Britain from Germany with his American wife Claire before the birth of their first child in October, but visa rules say he may have savings of £88,500 before this can happen. Yesterday, the Sunday Times reported the Home Office wanted to deport Albanian by birth Olzi Baluli, recently released from prison after 11 years for heroin dealing, but the immigration tribunal judges wouldn't allow it, so he stays in Britain. Apparently, when Olzi obtained British citizenship, he signed a form which stated he'd never done anything that might indicate that you may not be considered a person of good character. Being a heroin dealer didn't count, apparently.
Our final letter for today is from Colin Burley from Toftwood, who thinks Gerald's bookshop will be missed. I read with a great deal of sadness of the closure of Gerald's book department. With the online giants such as Amazon, their often cheaper prices and slicker service, this sort of thing was bound to happen. Not only at Gerald's, but other stores too. I was, for a time, during the latter years of my working life, employed by the company, and during my lunch hour would spend time browsing round the shelves of the book department. Thereafter, my bookcase became crammed with books on my favourite subjects, such as jazz music and musicians, the Avro Lancaster, and Norfolk and its dialect. Call me old-fashioned if you wish, but rather than have a cardboard box containing a book pushed through my letterbox or laid outside my front door by a delivery man who hasn't got time for me to answer the door, I prefer to receive a longed-for treasure handed to me by a smiling shop assistant who has gone to the trouble of searching for a book of my choice. Books about an obscure New Orleans bass player took some finding, but Gerald's book department found it for me. Goodbye, Gerald's book department, and many thanks for past favours.